Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pod2Pod podcast, where we explore the new services, technologies, and advice that will help podcast producers and even some consumers. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Matthew Passy. On the episode this week, we have Dan Franks, co-founder and co-organizer of Podcast Movement, the big podcasting conference that has been taking place the last few years. This year, it is in Anaheim, California, August 23rd through the 25th. More information at podcastmovement.com. You know, important that you go to that website because it's not just the conference. I mean, the conference is excellent. They put on a fantastic show. There's great keynote speakers, lots of breakout sessions, lots of fun and interesting and important activities that, you know, you want to think about as a podcaster, but you really want to check out the full schedule because they have a lot of other stuff that's going on outside of just those 3 days. So make sure you head to podcastmovement.com. If you haven't already got your tickets, go get them. The price will be going up again very shortly. If you have, I am envious of you, and I hope you have an amazing time, and I hope that you'll check out Joe Berman, our founder at Podcast Movement at the Pod2Pod table. So great chat with Dan Franks about the show this year, how this whole thing got started, some advice for you podcasters, since he really, you know, he has his thumb on the industry. He can really give you a lot of intelligent things to think about with podcasting. So before we get to that chat with him, remember to check out pod2pod.com. the go-to resource for all things podcasting. There you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, check out the latest headlines, browse our directory of podcasting services, surf our calendar of podcasting events, find out how you can join our podcasting Slack group, and so much more. It's all available at pod2pod.com. All right, here we go with Podcast Movement's Dan Franks. All right, excited to have on from Podcast Movement, Dan Franks. Dan, thank you so much for joining us here on Pod to Pod today.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm a loyal reader of the newsletter and member of the Slack group, so excited to kind of fill out the trifecta here.
And we are glad to have you as both. You have been an excellent contributor there in the Slack group. Always some good insight coming up. Podcast Movement, been around for a few years now, and obviously most podcasters know about it. Most of them have been to it. They sort of know what to expect, but I want to go back just a little bit farther and talk to you more about what made you guys, you and your co-founding partner, charities, like what made you guys want to start and, you know, create this podcasting event?
Yeah, you know, it was really at the very beginning, it was a brainchild of Jared Easley, as you mentioned, and then fellow co-founder Gary Leland, who is a Hall of Fame podcaster, podcast Hall of Fame member. He's been around doing podcasting for about as long as it existed. And the three of us were attendees at a media event in Las Vegas that no longer exists. And it always had a track for podcasting. And that last year that we were there, I think it was 2013 or 2014, maybe January 2014, we were all sitting there at that event and just kind of taking it in. And we were all, you know, friends or acquaintances because of podcasting, but we weren't in business together or anything like that. But the three of us were just there looking around this conference, and it dawned on us that, you know, most of the people at this event are podcasters or are here because of the podcasting track. Yet podcasting was like 1/3 of the actual content at the event. So numbers seemed off a little bit. And we noticed that all the sessions that were podcast related were really well attended, and all the sessions that were not podcast related were not well attended. And it just kind of slapped us in the face that, you know, we as attendees of this event, we wish there were more podcast type sessions that we could attend. And we figured that most people there thought that, you know, there, we thought that that could be the case for them as well. So that was really kind of the idea, was looking around and saying, we wish this event existed for us. It doesn't exist right now. Maybe we're the ones to do it. And that was all there was to it, quite honestly.
So what has changed at Podcast Movement over the years that you have been doing it? I mean, what were some of the like original focus sessions and rooms and breakouts that you were doing there versus some of the things that are planned for this year's, the 2017 in Anaheim?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And a lot's changed, quite honestly. And it's really just a natural evolution, I think, of putting together events, as well as some, you know, thoughtful changes. But the very first year of the event, We kickstarted it. That's how we got it off the ground, was through a very successful Kickstarter campaign. And pretty much every one of the speakers, I would say 9 out of 10 speakers, were people that we personally had relationships with, people that we knew, people that we could, you know, quote unquote, call in a favor to, ask them to speak, ask them to lead or be on a panel. And really nothing more than that. Like, hey, we're doing this event. We really need your help. We think you'd be a great part of it. Yes or no. And what that led to was, it was almost 100% of the speakers were people in our network, in our circles of friends, so to speak, in the podcasting space. And, you know, for better or worse, all three of us ran in kind of that business podcasting space. So the entrepreneurship, the online marketing, make money, that kind of thing. And not necessarily, none of us were in the spammy, you know, space, nothing like that, but we were just all kind of podcasting about the same thing. Therefore, those were who our connections were with. So when that manifested itself into us asking people to be a part of the event and then making them a part of the event, it ended up being a lot of business podcasters taking the stage. Now, that doesn't mean that the talks were all about business. It wasn't all about making money with your podcast or marketing or networking or anything like that. But just people looking at it from the outside in, it really did have the look of, oh, these are a bunch of marketing and business podcasters, therefore it must be an event about marketing and business. So that was our first kind of pivot, so to speak, coming out of that first year, was, well, we can see why people might think of it this way by looking at it from the outside in. So then we had to make a conscious effort to not only put friends and people that we, you know, were very close to as speakers, but to expand our boundaries and really kind of get outside our comfort zone in terms of putting the programming out there. And then from there, when you have people that are outside that business space taking the stage and being a part of panels and all of those things, then the attendees from their, you know, their networks and their audiences start to attend as well. So that was really our biggest pivot. And then from there, we've just constantly tried to evolve to continue to have all niches in podcasting represented and all different voices, whether it's from the industry side or the independent creator side or other parts of the podcast ecosystem. And then, you know, from those, each niche, whether it's professional wrestling podcasters represented or whether it's fiction podcasters represented, such a diverse space that we constantly are trying to keep up with the trends, keep up with the changes, and have equal representation from across the board.
So now, this is an interesting question, because you get hundreds, if not maybe thousands, of submissions every year for people who want to speak at Podcast Movement. So you get a really good sense of the pulse of what is interesting to podcasters, podcast producers. What are you seeing as sort of the evolving trend? What's sort of the new hot thing that, you know, maybe wasn't really on the radar last year, but is going to be, you know, in a big way at Podcast Movement this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. So you've always got your evergreen ideas and topics, whether it's different monetization topics or different marketing topics. But I would say one of the things that we saw quite a few submissions about this year was local podcasting and geo-targeting of podcasts, whether it's podcast geared towards just a specific location in the world, or whether it's ads that are running on podcasts that are targeted using platforms where they can target these ads only to be heard by people in certain geographic locations. So all things geography and all things targeting, as far as that goes, whether it's the content or whether it's the ads and the technology, that seemed like a really hot topic. And it makes sense. We see a lot of people chatting in our Facebook group about different, you know, doing podcasts about your specific hometown or some area that you really like. And really, that's kind of, to me, just a further niching down from when we see shows about Disney World or Disneyland. And those are really the same thing. They just have wider appeal. But now we're starting to see the same, you know, geographic location type podcast coming up. And they are about a city. They are about New Orleans. They are about Marietta, Georgia, or some of these other ones that we've seen pop up in our own community. And we have seen a lot of those sessions submitted about local podcasts as well. So that's the one that kind of caught me, not necessarily off guard, but I was surprised by how many different sessions were submitted around that topic.
Yeah, I think the idea of more locally sourced content, that idea of like from farm to table, podcasts, vlogs, blogs, whatever it is about your specific area, is going to be, you know, coming on in a big way in the next couple of years, especially when you think about, you know, one, the sort of abandonment of legacy and traditional media players in smaller markets, from newspapers to radio stations to television networks, sort of, you know, centralizing a little bit more, not having as much of a presence in local markets. And then you even look at something like what happened with ESPN, where, you know, they're letting go of a lot of people. That's going to open up a lot of places for people to talk about their local sports team, whether it's the professional, the college. Heck, you know, there's even a lot of people who are doing high school sports based podcasts, and not just for football, you know, lacrosse, soccer, bowling. You know, people really are excited to talk about their community, talk about what's going on, and locate listeners and, like you said, advertisers in their local community. So I think that's also going to come on in a big way in the next few years.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, the conventional podcasting wisdom says, well, the best thing about podcasting is anyone can listen to it from anywhere at any time. And that's one of the things that sells itself to podcasting, be able to get big, or your audience to be able to be far reaching, that it has, you know, no boundaries. But then it's funny that now we're talking about potentially shrinking down those boundaries, much like a local radio station would be, you know, only having a certain audience of people that could even hear it. Now it's still available for other people, but it might be that same small section of the total population that actually has any interest in it. So it's kind of, you know, this expansion and then this contraction a little bit. But I think it's really cool. I mean, I think, you know, there's a reason why people are abandoning the traditional media, like you mentioned. And I think this is potentially opportunities for some of these local radio stations, or even, like you said, like an ESPN, where some of these ESPN reporters might have had certain geographical areas where that's what they covered. That's a sport they covered, or the, you know, the location in the country that they covered sports for. And I think there are opportunities now to kind of fill those voids. And that, again, as traditional media is abandoned, more and more of those voids, I think, are opening up.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's a little scary not to have the support of, you know, a massive institution like an ESPN or a, you know, other media publication, but at the same time, the freedom to be able to talk about, you know, in a manner that you want to, that really reflects your local community without these overarching guidelines, will probably open up the opportunity for some of these smaller market reporters to really explode on the scene, because now they can really talk the way that community talks. They can be more open, you know, not saying they have to, but if they want to get a little bit more blue or curse or something like that, like, you know, whatever's going to drive their engagement, whatever's going to drive their passion, you know, this does sort of afford that freedom to be able to do that. Now, something else that's also really interesting about podcast movement is that it's a conference. It, you know, keynote speakers and some really cool names you've had over the years, and you're going to have this year, and lots of breakout sessions. But it also seems like there's almost more non-podcast movement events that are happening at Podcast Movement. What's been going on there? What are you most excited about this year in that realm?
Yeah, well, we're excited always about the conference, and that's always number one, right? Is to make sure that the sessions and the keynotes and the panels are all worth the price of admission, worth everyone's time and efforts in order to get to the location that year. And that's always the number one thing that we're focused on. But around that, to really build that experience, we know that this is, for most attendees, the one time of the year that they get together with their podcast friends or podcast acquaintances, sometimes their co-hosts, sometimes their business partners, that one time a year where they all get together in one place from around the world. So we know that they don't just want to sit in hotel ballrooms. They don't just want to, you know, visit the expo hall. They don't just want those types of things, but they want other opportunities to, you know, to learn in a different environment, or to have these networking events or these parties or these different things that are a little more outside the box and a little more, you know, casual and free flowing. So we always want to just provide those opportunities, and we're constantly evolving the event to build out different options and different opportunities. One of the most exciting things we're excited about this year is we have a Thursday night luau party, it's going to be like a beach party. There's going to be fire jugglers, or whatever you call it. There's going to be hula dancers. There's going to be, you know, island music. There's going to be all kinds of things, but ultimately it's just a networking event with kind of a party festive atmosphere. And this is something that we did the first 2 years of Podcast Movement, and it skipped it last year, but coming back by popular demand is this evening networking party. Really just going to be a fun experience, something that people will talk about, take their pictures, but most importantly, just hang out with other podcasters, meet new podcasters, and just, you know, make the most of their time at this event. And then we've got all kinds of things going on, as you mentioned, before and after Podcast Movement. And all of that's at podcastmovement.com. But there really is all different opportunities for people that are interested in speaking at or around Podcast Movement. There's orientations for people who have never been before. There's going to be some documentary screened. There's going to be all kinds of things. And then, of course, we're just at an awesome location. We're right by Disney. We're right by the baseball stadium. We're right by all kinds of things to do in Southern California there. So we encourage people, you know, hey, get out of the hotel, spend some time with each other, have fun, enjoy yourself, and make the most out of this week that you guys are all together.
This will be dated by the time everyone hears this, but it'll be much better than the Fire Festival, as you so eloquently.
You know, I don't know if the Fire Festival is ever going to be a dated reference. We will have fire there, but it won't be anything like the Fire Festival. So we'll just say that.
So I know, you know, you're still focused on this year and putting together the event and, you know, lining up speakers and lining up all the sessions and making sure everybody, you know, it's a massive, massive undertaking to put this together, to get everything working, to make sure everybody has a smooth experience. And, you know, from what I've heard from several folks, it always turns out to be like that. But do you already, you know, having gotten the crux of this put together, do you already have some thoughts and ideas and, you know, innovative concepts for next year?
Yeah, well, the fun thing is, I mean, we're a traveling roadshow. We're kind of like a traveling circus here, that every year we go to a new location, we go to a new venue, and there's new things to do and new kind of opportunities. Like last year in Chicago, had we done a beach luau, that wouldn't have really made sense. But now that we're in Southern California, it totally makes sense. So certain things just by geography alone just lend themselves to different kinds of you know, events and entertainment and things we can do around the conference. I mean, like I said, we're a traveling roadshow, so that itself is going to help evolve the event. But we're constantly taking notes. Jared and I go to other events all over the country simply just to learn from what other people are doing, figure out ways we can make it better. I think this year, people that have been to past events will come and they'll notice a lot of improvements. We've put a lot of time into making some more opportunities for people to network and creating some different types of learning experiences for people that are there simply to learn how to podcast or learn how to podcast better. Some more hands-on type demonstrations and hands-on type sessions. We've expanded our expo area a lot to where there's going to be a lot more microphone vendors and exhibitors showing off their equipment. So whether it's your Blue microphones are going to be there, or your Shure's, or your Samsung's, or your Tascam's, or all of these equipment manufacturers, they're coming this year and they're going to have all kinds of demo equipment, things for people to try. So really, as we evolve, and I can't even speak on 2018 yet because 2017 is still constantly evolving, but every year we're just constantly trying to heighten the experience for everyone who's gracious enough and willing to give us their, you know, their time and investment to be a part of Podcast Movement.
So someone who's hearing this, they might already have their ticket booked for this year, or they're on the fence and they're like, do I want to go? What is the one thing that you're like, please, you have to check this out. We're so excited about this. I know you're excited about everything that happens. You know, there's not going to be a bad part of Podcast Movement, but there's got to be that one thing that you're just like, I wish every single person could check out this.
Well, so if I'll say from a personal level, and his personal excitement level, I wish everyone could be at the keynote session featuring Dan Carlin, the host of Hardcore History. He is one of the podcasters.
Is it going to last 3.5 hours?
Yeah, no, it's not going to last that long. This will not be the length of his normal podcast. But Dan is literally one of my favorite podcasters. His Hardcore History podcast is epic. Everyone I know that's heard it, that's willing to put in the time to check out an episode, agrees that it's just it's a piece of art what he does with the Hardcore History podcast. And, you know, from a professional and personal level, from the podcast movement side, we've been trying to get him to speak for 3 or 4 years now. We finally got the yes. So we're so excited to be able to bring him to Podcast Movement. He doesn't speak anywhere else. I mean, he is so difficult just to get to leave. We had to go to the West Coast, close to his home, just to get him to venture out. And like I said, I just wish everyone would have the opportunity to hear what he's going to have to share, because it's such a rare opportunity. So that's the one thing I would say. And then in terms of the event itself and some of the activities going on, we're really excited to have these two, what we're calling right now, the interactive stages. Going on, and they're within the expo hall. One of them is really, like I mentioned before, hands-on type learning that's going to be going on throughout the 2.5 days of the event. And it's not just going to be people sitting on stage talking on a panel, or someone on stage talking at you with a slideshow presentation. And it really is, people are going to get up there, open the laptops, and show you what they're doing in terms of editing techniques, or show you what they're doing in terms of publishing their podcast to different platforms, or they're going to bring the mixers and the microphones up there, and they're going to show you the mic technique that they use, and the mixing levels and all of those. So that's something that we have not had in the past that we're really excited about, because people, you know, they see people talk and they see people present and they hear panel discussions, but sometimes they're like, just show me how to do whatever you're saying it is that you do. And we're super excited to have that. So I could go on and on about all the things I'm excited about, but between Dan Carlin and those interactive stages, those are two good starts. And I think anyone who does decide to spend some time with us this summer will really be happy that they did.
And also, I know, like you said, you're excited about everything, but I know also at the time that people are going to be hearing this, the Hall of Fame class will be out for the Academy of Podcasters Awards. Another, you know, great year of folks being nominated. What can you tell us right now about what we're going to see there?
Yeah, so the Academy of Podcasters is something that we started 2 years ago in 2015. So this will be the third year of it. And we really felt like podcasters, and specifically kind of these legends of podcasting, the people that helped lay the groundwork for what we're doing, weren't necessarily getting the credit or attention that they deserve. So something we set out to do at the very onset of setting up the Academy of Podcasters was to create a Hall of Fame, a podcast Hall of Fame. And we've inducted 10 people, or actually 11 people up to this point, in the Academy of Podcasters Hall of Fame. And in 2017, we have a great class that we're inducting as well. All of that's at the Academy. It's academyofpodcasters.com. We have 5, and we're working on a 6th big name inductee, but for sure 5 have been announced already. And they're legends of podcasting. They're people that have made it possible to get to where we are today. And then the other half of the Academy of Podcasters is our annual award ceremony. And it happens every year. This year it's happening on the 23rd, so the first evening of Podcast Movement. And it's a big production. We spend a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money, quite honestly, in putting a giant stage production together to make it more or less, you know, the Oscars or the Emmys of podcasting. We invest a lot to try to celebrate not only these Hall of Famers, that's the night they get inducted, but also that year's best podcasts and best podcasters. So we don't pull any punches, and we don't hold anything back on the evening of the Academy of Podcasters Awards. And we're really excited every year to present that presentation, that show, to everyone that attends Podcast Movement.
So who's the MC for this year? James Corden, or did you spring for Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, there you go. A TBD. So we're working on some a really good opportunity there. The last 2 years, Colt Cabana from The Art of Wrestling was our host. This year, he's doing a month-long stint in Edinburgh, Scotland, at the same time as the Podcast Movement. So we're super happy for him to have that gig going on. But that's good, because it allows us to have some fresh faces in there. So we're excited to announce that very soon.
So again, you get a chance to really check out, you know, you have a great overarching view of the podcasting space because of all the, you know, people who apply to speak, because of all the podcasters that you look at for the Academy and for the awards, because of all the people who register and sign up and talk to you and take part in, you know, the Podcast Movement Facebook group. You know, what do you see as some advice or pearls of wisdom or, you know, and obviously not the same old stuff that we're hearing, but like, you know, what's the one thing that you can tell a podcaster that they might not know that they should know before they either get started or as a way to improve what they're already doing?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be cliche, but the hardest thing and the thing, the kind of complaint, I guess you would call it, and the troubles that I hear most of all is people wanting to grow their show more. People are spending a lot of time, a lot of effort into creating their content, and they wouldn't put it out in the world unless they thought it was really good, unless they enjoyed putting it out and thought it was worth hearing. And the hardest thing sometimes is to do that and people aren't hearing it, or not as many people as you hope would be consuming your content are. And that's the hardest thing. But it doesn't stay that way. And it doesn't have to stay that way, I should say, because there's a lot of podcasters who start out that way, stick to it, and then their shows, for one reason or another, take off. Sometimes it's just that length of time and that slow build of audience. Sometimes there's something that your show covers or some publicity that your show gets where it takes off and it gets a bump and then another bump and then another bump. There's all sorts of ways that people grow podcasts. Some of them are intentional. Some of them, like I said, are just because they stick to it and keep doing good things for an extended period of time. So, you know, the advice I give is to any podcaster who's just getting started is stick to it. And I mean, it's as simple as that. I use an example of Aaron Mankey with Lore. He's somebody who, quite honestly, he didn't want to be a podcaster. He was an author. He was trying to figure out how to sell more copies of his books. So he said, maybe I should do podcast audio versions of things similar to my books, and it can be more or less a lead funnel or a lead magnet into my books. And since then, he's had like 12 million downloads of his podcast over the last year, and it's just taken off. And now the podcast is his full-time job, and every once in a while he can put out a book, and of course it does well, but now it's the other way around and completely flipped the script. And Aaron is somebody who's now a keynote speaker at Podcast Movement. 2 years ago, he didn't even have a podcast. He's never been supported by, or, you know, never been on a large network that promoted his show. He's never had, you know, groups sell ads for him. He's done everything DIY on his own, does all his own production, editing, taught himself all of it too. And now not only is he got one of the top podcasts in the world, he's now keynoting at Podcast Movement, and he's got a TV show. Amazon offered to pick up his podcast, turn it into a TV show, and give him a production credit and involve him in the production of this show, all because he simply decided, you know, I'm going to start this podcast and I'm going to stick to it. And it's just taken off, you know, like wildfire. And certainly he's, you know, he's a special story. But there's all kinds of stories that we hear in this Facebook groups and things like that, where people just create something based on their passion, stick to it, and something happens and it grows and takes off. And we always encourage podcasters to at least give it a fighting chance. We see too many people bail out too early, too many people that don't see that instant success, and instead of sticking to it, they bail out. And it's really unfortunate. So number one, like I said, so cliche as it sounds, but number one through number 10, my top 10, my top 10 pieces of advice are stick to it and, you know, see it through to the end.
So the other question I have, and, you know, I guess this is something that I've experienced at other conferences, and, you know, maybe you can offer some advice for folks who are going, you know, a lot of first time podcasters are going to be there. A lot of folks who have this exact same problem. They want to grow their audience. You know, they might see this as an opportunity to do that. Is Podcast Movement the place to promote your show? I mean, do you want to just build an audience of fellow podcasters as your audience, or should you really come to Podcast Movement with a different mindset? Not as much, you know, not as much trying to get people to listen, but just for you to go there and listen to other people?
Yeah, that's a good question. We kind of use our Podcast Movement Facebook group as a little, you know, microcosm, so to speak, of what the bigger Podcast Movement community is. And it's the same thing we say in there. Don't promote your podcast here because no one in this group wants to hear your podcast. And that's, you know, it's a little harsh, and it's probably not true because there probably are other podcasters that are interested in whatever your topic your podcast is about. But unless it's a show like yours, like the Pod to Pod show, which really is a podcast for podcasters, then other podcasters aren't who you need to be targeting. You need to be figuring out who is your ideal listener. Who is your, you know, some people call it your avatar. Who is the person that you think this show is made for, and then figure out where those people are and figure out how to get your ideas and your content in front of them. So while podcast movement, sure, you might run into some people that like the idea of your podcast. Ultimately, the best way to make the most out of podcast movement and out of any other conference that's an industry conference like podcast movement is to meet people that might be able to help your podcast grow, not as a listener, but maybe as, you know, a partner. So we've seen people that have built their own podcast networks based on other people they meet at podcast movement. Or we see people, obviously, that go into the expo hall and meet people like the folks at Libsyn or like the folks at Blueberry or like some of these other podcast networks. And they meet people there and they learn best practices and they figure out what they're doing right or wrong with their podcast. And that kind of relationship will help their podcast grow. So there's going to be 2,000 other people there besides you that, and then that's a podcast movement this year, that can help your podcast grow. The least likely chance they can help your podcast grow is by being one additional new listener, but there's other things that they can provide to you, you know, that whether it's from their successes or their failures or their connections or their experience or what they do in the podcast space that can help your podcast grow. So yeah, the least like the thing that you could do and have the least effect is to go like hand out postcards for your podcast. That's just not going to work. It's going to be a waste of paper. Save the trees. Go there to learn how to be a better podcaster or to meet other people that can help you that do that. But don't go there trying to promote your show. It's just a waste of time.
You should definitely get yourself there if you are a podcaster, if you're thinking about putting together a podcast, if you want some help with your show or other aspects of the production and marketing of it. You want to head to podcastmovement.com. The conference is in Anaheim, August 23rd through the 25th. And there's other events surrounding it. So it's not just those couple of days. You know, make sure you look at the whole schedule and get yourself prepared to be there for all the time that you're going to be there. I personally may not be able to get out this year. My wife is due and, you know, we're expecting right around that time. And if it weren't twins, I might be a little bit easier to abandon her. But right now, I think I've got to stay home with her. But Pod to Pod will have a table there. So make sure you get out there. Say hello to Joe Berman. Check us out. And, you know, sign up as soon as you can for Podcast Movement if you haven't already, because the price will continue to go up as you get closer to the event. By the time that you're hearing this, there should be another deadline coming within about 12 to 24 hours. So the sooner you can sign up, the better it's going to be. And we have had the privilege, and it's been a lot of fun, chatting with Dan Franks, one of the co-founders and co-organizers of Podcast Movement. And we are looking forward to having another one of the team members on later on this year before the conference. So, Dan, thank you so much for jumping on with us here today on Pod to Pod.
Yeah, thanks, Matthew. And congratulations on the little ones. There's some things that are more important than podcasting, and I think you found one right there.
I think I found two of them.
There you go.